exiting executive session at 4:39. And in accordance with our discussions in executive session, I make a motion that we offer the executive director position to candidate A at the salary discussed in executive session, with giving the consultant and board president some wiggle room to negotiate that salary if necessary. All in favor? Oh, I need a second.
I second.
Any discussion?
Are you writing down who?
I'm trying to.
Sorry. Am I too fast? You got it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So the next steps are, we will offer that, make that offer to the candidate. We have to keep it quiet, please, during the time that the candidate is considering the offer. If the candidate accepts, I would like to tell the teachers and faculty first, and then release a statement to the parents. So we probably need a faculty meeting at some point to let them have that courtesy of knowing first.
That would be great.
Okay. All right. What is next?
So,
end of the year activities.
Just to raise your awareness level that the end of the year is approaching, I will send out some kind of calendar to you about end of the year. As you know, we're getting ready multiple kinds of activities that include exams, underclassmen exams at the high school, IB exams at the high school, prom activities, activities such as the award. Remember that we had our awards dinner last year for the seniors. We're going to do an awards, because we have more kids, we're going to do an awards
dessert.
Oh.
Okay, so so we'll get a calendar out to you, but I just want to raise your level of awareness that there are many, many activities that will be occurring, eighth grade moving up, and so on and so forth. Graduation.
That brings up my point to the board members, is if you haven't given your contribution for the board scholarship, please do so. Okay. And mark on the check that it's for the board scholarship.
Who are we out to again? Is it just Sussex
County? Just put in the memo line that it's for scholarship.
That's the amount.
I believe it was
200.
200.
Right? Someone said 200.
200.
Whatever you just feel.
And also, if you can't, well, the suggested.
Whatever you feel is appropriate.
No, I think.
Is that a stretch on my
And also, your donation to the foundation, or if you have, or the annual fund, if you haven't made it yet, please.
The other thing, just so you know, in terms of graduation, Lisa Blunt Rochester will be our speaker at graduation.
Great.
Yeah.
She's now our congressman, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, right. So I'll get out on that to you. SAT and PSAT, we mentioned last time, I just want to make you aware, all of our students, with the exception of seniors, will be taking the PSAT, SAT on March the 10th. Not my April 10th, I'm sorry.
Even sixth graders?
No, all of our 9, 10,
oh, I'm
11.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, 9,
so
10.
So it's required at the 9th to take a PSAT?
No, but most of our kids will be taking it.
But it is the 10th grade, they do take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to be administering it on site, so they don't have to go anywhere else. We administer it on site. And I want to remind you that our seniors will be engaged in digital experiences, homework, etc., not on site that day.
Are we going to use our fancy new gymnasium in middle school? No,
they're going to be the kids are going to be tested in classrooms. So what this entails, almost practically all of our high school teachers are going to have to be involved in the testing, monitoring the test, administering the test. They all had to be trained on what to do and so on. Debbie did a wonderful job with that. Next item is MYP. The high school is moving forward with application for candidacy to the MYP program. A Colin Marine, we've selected as the MYP coordinator. Colin, in concert with Alan, in concert with me, are preparing the MYP application to be submitted. So
it's for grades 9, 10, right?
Grades 9, 10, mm-hmm. Correct.
What's the process of getting approval after you submit?
Then they being MYP, there's a visitation, there are conversations. It's about 18 months.
We work with a consultant for a year to get all the materials together. So that's very similar to what we went through for IB.
This wouldn't be take effect for a couple of years.
Right. One of the differences, and I find it a delightful difference, is in the MYP program, there are requirements for interdisciplinary units of study at each grade level, which comes closer to the kinds of things that maybe we've experienced in expeditionary learning. And so from an instructional standpoint, I'm thrilled about that.
Would we expect all ninth graders to be MYP?
Yes.
Is there a choice to make if they're...
No, we're not given choice. We're all ninth and tenth graders are MYP.
Do you think that will discourage some eighth graders from going on to ninth grade at our school?
I think it will encourage those that want a solid academic program of instruction.
Could you answer the direct question?
Joe, it's very different from IB, and the IB has prescribed courses you have to teach. NYP is a curriculum model that fits your curriculum. You don't change your curriculum, you just change your approach to teaching it. So it prepares the students for IB, because some of the things that are designed into the IB courses are being brought down, so they're getting familiarity and experience with those expectations. But it still would be ninth grade. Integrated science would still be the course that they would take as their science course, just be taught in a different way.
Same subject, just a little more rigorous. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us what this cost this year, next year, the year after, when it's fully implemented?
The application fee is $4,000. It's about $2,000 per person for training. Then once we get, I think there's a $9,000 candidacy fee. And then once we get approved, because we're an IB World School and DP program, we'll get a slight discount on
the annual
the annual fee. And I think it'll be about 19.
$19,000 a year?
The combined.
Right. The combined, that's for IB and MYP.
For DP and MYP.
Now the good news on that
diploma program.
The good news on that side, of course, is that we were with Mike Rolls' help and Alan and... and Alan did.
And Gina.
Gina got the $100,000 two-year grant, so the Calder grant, and so that will be supporting financially this work that we won't have to take any operational funds for this program right now. We have to worry about it in 3 years, but we don't have to worry about it for 2 years.
Great.
I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited for the school about it.
And how do middle school teachers feel about it?
What doesn't change there?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's 9 and 10.
It's 9 and 10.
Yeah.
So how do the 9 and 10 mm-hmm. teachers feel about it? Are they excited?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Good.
I think it'll bring...
There's no question that it's going to prepare
us apart.
Better for IB.
It sets us apart. It sets us apart. We're not like everybody else.
I think we'll all be speaking the same language a little better, and the articulation between 10th and 11th grade classes will be easier. I think there's some concern about the time, just because they have to do all these interdisciplinary units, so they have to work together on that, and we got to carve out the time.
The common planning that's going to have to take place. The other thing is there are more requirements around student work in terms of service or group service. While our kids now they're accustomed to doing service work, it's going to be more defined within the MYP program. And there's probably going to have to be a little more interaction and monitoring by teachers around that. Which I mean, very honestly, I don't know how else to say this, it's going to be more work on already very overworked people. But it's going to be more work. And so, I believe that.
Is the goal to be this by September? Is that the...
Not this September.
Okay.
We won't be authorized until maybe next June.
Okay.
Or is it...
No, but your authorization would be fall of 2019.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then you'd get your approval in spring of 2020.
Okay.
I think if it works like DP, okay. That would...
I haven't wrapped up, but I just bring it with me.
Okay.
And then finally, college acceptance. I'd asked Debbie if she would talk a little bit about that, and she prepared a document.
I brought copies of it.
Okay. Oh my, this is 5, 7.5.
I'm sorry, because there's a lot of trying to save paper.
There's a lot
of paper. I was putting it all on
you
one page.
You wanted to save paper, Micah.
I can read it.
Yay.
So there's still a lot of the highly selective schools that we have yet to hear back from. And apparently kids are getting into colleges and not telling me. So, but at the next board meeting, I'll be able to have that final list and actually be able to say also like where they've chosen to go besides our early decisions. But we've added some really nice names to the list. What really pleases me is when I talk to the kids and they say, you know, I visited University of Alabama and I just knew it was the right school for me. And that's, you know, that's what this is all about, is getting that right fit for the right kid and getting them into that school that they really want to go to. So the next time that I make this list, it's also my goal to look at, I don't have them rank their schools, I just have them say whether they're high, medium, or low interest, because I don't want them to feel like they're not a success if they don't get into number one, especially when number one might have an admissions rate of 10%. So, but I want to sort of categorize them as to how many of our kids got into a school that was a high interest school for them. So are we truly fulfilling the sort of dream for them? And I can sort of just not based on any data, just on gut feeling. Like when I look at their list and I look at kids who have taken IB classes, I think this kid, if they'd gone to a school without IB work under their belt, probably would not have gotten into some of these schools, but some of the schools that these kids are getting into, I'm surprised that they're getting into them, because schools are getting so much more selective, but I think the weight of those IB courses is really helping them. So
that's great.
I think it's awesome.
Do you believe that the college admissions offices, if some kid wants to be a diploma candidate, he declares that in his junior year, but he doesn't find out whether he got the diploma until July after he's already in college.
Right.
So just saying you were a diploma candidate they understand the admissions office, that's great, they went for the highest rope that they could climb on.
Right.
Whether they get it or not is not material to their acceptance.
No, but we do compile the data for our scores and then publish that in our next year's profile,
right,
so that colleges can see that we have a high quality program, that our results are not just taking the course, but that they're actually producing good scores in the end. And I think that's why I think we're seeing, like, we're seeing kids reach for those higher schools this year than they did last year, and getting into those schools, because we now have that, see, we told you we're great. We have some data to back it up.
Well, congratulations. This is a great list of schools.
Thank you, Debbie.
We've worked hard, I know. Mm-hmm. Very hard.
Yeah, but the teachers wrote great recommendations. The kids have worked hard. They're not done yet. The next push is for us to make sure they do well on those IB exams, because it's easy for them to say, I got in, I'm done,
right,
don't need it. But we keep telling them, we need it. We need you to do your best. So. And they will.
All right. Financials.
Financials. I think, Alan, I'll do the financials, and then you do the CBOC report and the budget.
Okay.
Makes sense. So you're looking for this packet and a separate sheet that's also that looks a lot like this but has comments on it?
Green.
Green
is good.
There are any more? So
more?
There's another packet.
Yes, there's
ridiculous
amount of paper.
There's one.
This one you mean? Is this the comment one you're talking
about? Yeah, that's the comment one.
Which green are
you looking at?
This green.
We're talking to this one. One green, and we're using this packet.
I have one of these.
Somebody had one of those for that person, I think. They need the other one.
They need the comment one.
Oh, they need that one?
They need it.
Is this the same one, Alan?
That's here. So do they need this, the solid green?
I printed a letter, so.
I need a comment one.
I did that too.
I got to share.
We're out of comments.
We're out of comments.
Here, I can share with Jen if somebody down there wants one.
Who needs one?
I can share.
Let's go.
Okay, so, the details are in this packet. It'll give you, you know, a low level of detail. Again, you know, we brought it up a little bit and looked at the financials on a year-to-date basis. But if you look at February specifically, before I get into the comment sheet, February was a very steady month for us. Revenue continues to come in. We're now over the budget without using any reserve right now. And we're going to continue to bring in revenue on the balance of the year. I'll talk about that. We brought in about $36,000 this past month in February, but we were anticipating that we were going to bring in probably about another $15,000 for the E-rate reimbursement for some of our wireless network reimbursement that we get back.
This is over the budget.
So right now it's every dollar is over the budget, right? Even without using the reserve in it. So we're in a good point at the year, and I'm going to kind of make some comments alluding to the budget that Alan's going to share with you on the balance of the year. But the expenses for February kind of brought
us. You want a sheet that was.
No, I'm just talking broadly about February before I talk on the year to date. The expenses for February were a little below, what we would anticipate spending of 1/12 of the year. And it brought us back in line and a little more favorable on the balance of the year. There were a couple specific expenses that came down. It was energy. We didn't pay any consulting fees versus last month, so overall we were favorable. We also have a little bit of variability around salaries because there are a few months during the year where there's a 3-payroll cycle. This past month was a 2-payroll cycle, so until you hit another 3-payroll cycle, which is next month, you'll actually see it go the other way and our expenses will pop up a little bit, but don't get alarmed because I think we've looked enough at the balance of the year from an employee salary perspective. So I'm going to flip over to the comment sheet and talk a little bit about where we are on a year-to-date basis versus what we're calling our preliminary budget. Again, I continue to publish this, but we came in over our preliminary unit count calculation. And that's giving us about $327,000 more on the balance of the year than what we had budgeted in the preliminary budget. We're also bringing in MCI from prior year, which is roughly 70,000. And that's going to bring up or increase our total final budget by about $404,000 from state sources. Any questions?
$400,000?
The next line, which is local, our local line versus the budget. The good news is we're starting to see the fruit of Alan's labor, Steve Bassanelli's labor, in terms of bringing in revenue related to aquatics and athletics. Aquatics on a year-to-date basis is bringing in revenue sufficient enough to fund half the expenses. So that's good news. Brought in, I think expenditures for aquatics are about $200,000 year to date, and we brought in about $95,000 in revenue, which is great news.
Can I ask a favor? Okay. Say favor, I ask it, Alan. We get about 16 sheets with numbers on it, but we can never tell where you are. So we're not getting the audio visual or the video feedback. I like to look, hear the number and understand what line's coming from.
Okay.
So I can make a note rather than just having you talk.
I'm on the
nobody remembers.
I'm sorry, I'm on this comments. I'm on this sheet with the comments. I didn't maintain one for myself. That's what I'm talking about.
This one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just going down that the right side. The comments on the right side.
So I've only covered the top two lines so far, Jeff, of the comment section on that sheet.
Okay.
From a federal perspective, versus prior year, you can see that we've received federal funding earlier this year, and that was a change in the method and the timing in which they pay us. But there's also some upsides from which grant was that? The Kohler grant?
Yeah, Kohler grant. And we also had a Discover grant.
Of about $41,000 that will increase our budget versus a preliminary budget. So the net upside from a revenue perspective is actually, as you'll see in a little bit, it's actually providing us with contingency. It's not only erasing the $144,000 that we had in revenue needs to fund the year and the use of those reserves, but it's also providing us with some contingency. So you'll see that when Alan presents the recommendation from the CBOC for the final budget. Any questions?
Yeah, what's CBOC again?
Citizens Budget Oversight Committee.
Finance Committee.
The Finance
That's the meeting
Committee.
That you could have stayed for yesterday, but you said the one right after.
I will learn with the acronym.
Salaries are tracking to the budget, the preliminary budget at 64%, a little favorable to that, but at the same time, we're ahead of pace versus last year because of the pool staffing that was fully staffed at the beginning of the year. Based on pending approval of the comp committee, you might anticipate seeing this expense go up on the balance of the year, but I'm not going to steal the comp committee's thunder on that recommendation. Same would be said for the benefits, the other benefits below that. You're going to see that come up as well, commensurate with the committee's recommendation and final budget. However, if we were not to make those recommendations, we would be on the preliminary budget for the balance of the year. Questions so far?
So the takeaway is everything's gone well.
Mm-hmm. Everything's gone well.
For the 8 months or however many months you're doing this.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Interesting to note, I think, that, and it came up in yesterday's meeting, that the state money associated with salaries and paying the teachers, that ran out this past month, right? So we don't get fully funded from the state for all the salaries that the teachers are receiving. It comes from the balance of our funding, which is local funding and district funding. But the actual amount that's given to us to fund salaries through the unit calculation runs out about 60% through the year. Mm-hmm.
So is federal funding, is state funding 60%, local funding 30%, and federal 10%?
It's less than that on the federal piece.
Yeah.
So I would say the balance is local funding. Federal is only 3% of our total revenue.
Total revenue.
Yeah. And that's reserved for specific purposes.
Yeah.
So that's
we do have some salaries being paid out of that, but not. It's very limited and restricted.
Okay. Travel, a small number, over modestly. You'll see some minor revisions on balance of the year for budget. Contracted services. You'll see that that's on track for the full year, but I think because we're in a contingency position, we'll be planning for next year like we typically do, and we'll probably be doing a little bit of spending ahead of time for the following year. Same for supplies and materials. Equipment's a little favorable year to date, and I think that's because we had budgeted at the same or similar levels to last year. We had a lot of expenditures last year associated with the middle school. furniture and so forth, and we're not seeing that type of expenditure this year, so there'll be a little bit of upside relative to the preliminary budget and the final budget. Same holds true for technology.
Are we spending enough for technology, in your opinion? Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're going to spend a little more on security, technology for security. As far as equipping the kids with everything they need and the teachers with everything they need, you think we're not?
I think we're fine now. However, we're at the cycle where we've got a computer lab that we have updated it as many times as we can. It's like 6 years old. These computers are still working, they're workhorses, but we can't continue to update the software, and the hardware just won't allow that to happen anymore. And we probably have a set of laptops that need to be replaced. So we may have higher expenses next year.
No, I'm touching you because you know.
You wonder why you're touching me.
Because I need to hold my tongue, and Alan knows more about this than I do. I think we need more technology.
We always do.
Do we have money? Is there PTO money that's been unspent, like for that set aside for technology?
Yeah, there was.
So I think we need another lab. We got to replace a lab. We got to replace one laptop lab.
What's that cost?
$30,000.
So how many computers are in there?
28,
30. Right now, 25. 33, 34. Okay. And we know that the other lab, like he said, the other lab, the stationary lab, is great. The computers are fine, but you can't.
That's the one with 32, 33. The mobile lab has 20, 25, 26.
You can't update some of the stuff. I mean, it's getting. Teachers are always crying about not having available technology. Now, I can't tell you that they always, maybe sometimes if there were better sharing and planning, but I don't mean better planning, that's the wrong word.
Coordination.
They seem to need them at the same time. Mm-hmm. We particularly get hit during the testing, because all testing is now digital. And then we're going to move, I believe, to IB testing that is digital. Now, our kids have iPads. I don't have a clue yet if they can be used for testing. So we have a one-to-one relationship between technology and the high school kid, and about a 1 to 2.5 or 2.25 at the middle school. But it is something that the teachers talk about when they don't have it.
Next year, we're rolling out a new communications pathway, which will provide CTE funding, but it's all computer-based. It's like graphic design, not all computer-based, but largely computer-based. So the software and the hardware, that's something that we'll have to
change. Yeah, it seems to me that technology is pretty cheap. You just said that you could change your old lab for $30,000, all new equipment, or new hardware. That's cheap. Compared to a $7 million budget. If we are the forward-thinking high education school, the last thing we should be doing is crimping on technology. I mean, I agree that everything's been said about special ed. There's lots of needs, but I think technology is something we should be leading with, not following. And if the understanding of the teachers and Alan and you, Trish, is, yeah, we really could spend a little bit more money on technology and be a little bit more prepared for the teachers and their testing and all the rest of it, I think it's a very inexpensive way. It's much less expensive than hiring another teacher. You spend $100,000 on a teacher with benefits and everything.
No pension.
Yeah.
It lasts for 3 or 4 years. You don't have to spend it every year. So I do think
we should be
trying to jack up our technology spending, if there's a reason, not just for the purpose of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we need another computer lab, a whole other lab, let's get it.
And again, the reason I'm not putting it out here to be disagreeable, I'm putting it out here because I'm making my last shots, and I'm telling you we need it.
I was under the impression when we were talking yesterday at the meeting about what Debbie talked about in terms of changing our pathways, that there would be funding associated with that.
Well,
that would offer us the opportunity to invest more.
There will be, but our first year of it next year, one of the pathways next year, we're going to implement the first course of that pathway. Mm-hmm. Now, whether we implement it in the exact way that we're going to apply for it is a to be determined. Okay? So the process in that is we can't yet apply for that funding.
It has to be approved. Approval happens after November 1st right. every year.
So, but we're going to implant the course based on our conversations with the department, and we're going to teach that course. And it'll be the following year that we would get funding, probably for that one and also for the second course.
Okay.
So it's a 3-year deal.
Okay.
So, but next year, if we try to do what they're really going to do in the course, I'm not sure how that's going to be handled. I mean, I really don't know how it's going to be handled. I don't know if we've got the technology to do it or not.
Okay.
But we're going to run the course.
When do we have to know? Like, when to get technology, you have to know ahead of time, right? When will we know?
Well, a couple things are going to happen. Number one, we got to figure out how many kids are going to be taking the course, how many times we're going to be offering the course a day.
Yeah.
And that's somewhat going to drive the need.
How many computers? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, it's going to work itself through after the kids sign up. Debbie figures out what they're signed up for. Alan and Janet and the new director sit down and say, this is what's going, and here are the needs for that.
So for me, that just ties back into what we talked about yesterday, is that we as a school cannot stop fundraising. We have to continue fundraising. And it also ties into me, like, now is the time we should begin looking for new board members. And with board members, we're looking for people who can bring us sources of revenue, and for diversity, geographic, ethnic diversity. But some of the things we talked about yesterday were somebody that could write grants or find us, or was good at fundraising, had a fundraising background. I mean, we have Gina to help implement. I'm sorry if I'm taking Gina.
No, you're fine.
but we need sources. We need people who can lead us to sources of revenue. Dragon Boat's ending our fall thing at the Starboard was wonderful and really fun, mm-hmm. but not as full as it was a few years ago. And is this the last year of Derby Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Gina's got something on tap for next fall.
So we need money.
And the gala's getting a reboot.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got Lori Schell and Dee Dee Montgomery and Gina on it.
Okay.
It needs a
reboot.
And we were also talking about making income from athletic fields, like charging for admission now that we are. He's not looking at me.
We're going to task the athletics committee to come up with a plan for how we're going to charge
for athletics. And we are making almost $100,000 off the pool now. So, yeah, hooray.
And let me just make a comment about that, the searching for board members. It seems to me the most important board member we've added is Lance. He's added something that we didn't have before. This building and grounds expertise, you see how much he's taken that on and made us all feel much more comfortable about what we're doing than what we were doing before, mm-hmm. because of his leadership of this effort. Mm-hmm. So as much as I love the fundraising piece of your conversation, I don't think it's quite as important as if there's another need that we have that is a skill that somebody has or an experience that somebody has that would really help us. That's even more important.
Okay.
To me. I love the fundraising stuff, as you all know, but I do think we need to look around and say, what don't we have here that we should have? What problems do we come up to, and we don't really have a go-to person to say, can you solve this for us?
I agree. However, I believe that with the lofty financial commitments we are making to, you'll hear about this, but salary increases, bonus pool, technology labs, all that stuff. Like, we're going to be limited when we get to our unit count for how much money we can get. So we've got to be able to raise it outside of, you know, per student expenditure. So
But we need to be organized about that.
We do. And whoever would...
All the fundraising we've done, with the exception of the clubs, like the PTO and so forth, has been for the foundation. for mainly capital expenditures, middle school and all the stuff that we've done. We need to bifurcate any more fundraising the foundation does, other than the events, which is fine, from what the school needs to do separate from that. So it goes into operating funds for the school, which is where you're talking about.
Targeted fundraising, I believe. You know, like specific fundraiser for technology or things like that.
But you want to be careful about it because it will wear parents out. Where if this, you know, you'll hear, I thought this was a public school.
Right, nickel and dime.
I think I'm being nickel and dime for everything.
Because it's always the same parents.
I'm not a great believer in athletic, charging for athletic events, quite frankly. Yet, when we put a really good team on the field, and I think, well, Matt, right now we need parent support for our games. I don't know what, I don't go to a lot of the games, so I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I think that will drive some people away.
Most other schools charge.
And they put a first-class effort out on the field. We don't yet. We did great in swimming, and we did great in girls' volleyball. And we did okay in men's soccer, I think. I'm not sure. But I don't think we should be saying just because other schools do that, we should do it.
True.
I think we need to be thoughtful about it to get people. The most important thing is to get people that want to come to our games and participate as parents in, you know, providing food for the kids or whatever they do. So that's my perspective on it.
Actually, what other, it ties right in.
We need to vote.
On the financials. Yeah.
Yes.
Were you done, Steve? I'm sorry.
I was.
Okay, good. Alan, did you have, were you, no?
We consulted earlier today.
Motion to approve the February financials.
I move.
Joe seconds.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Now we need
foundation update.
No. Alan has to present the
CBOC.
I can do it when we're doing committee reports, or I can do it now.
We could do that because you have the budget too. That's a more pressing issue, right?
I think compensation maybe should go.
Oh, because that ties into your revised budget.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Joe, do you want to make the compensation committee report and recommendation?
I don't have the final number, so we'll ask Alan to give us that. But we went through everybody in the school, where their salary is. It's not total benefits, it's just salary. Looked at two different measures that we came up with as to comparing it to our peer public schools in Sussex County. Those numbers, and for the most part, we're higher than what we're paying our salary for paying our teachers for the same level of experience. So if we're looking at somebody who's been with the school for 4 years, they have a master's, we look at master's degree 4 years at other schools in the state, in the Sussex County, to see whether we're in line, out of line. Some we were higher, but most of the time we were lower. So what we are going to recommend is increasing the salary expense. Look at this on a full year basis, and then we'll talk about what the effect is this year. We want to start this, if everybody's in agreement, on April 1st, Alan?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This year, so there will be the last four or five paychecks the people will get this year, assuming the June end of their year, but it actually goes longer. They will get a bump up, which will be communicated to them after this meeting is over, but before they get their April 1st pay stub. The total of the increase is 90.
For a full year, if it were, for the fiscal year, it was a total of 145. That includes other employment costs. For the remainder of this year, it was about 27.
What's the impact on salary? Just salary, not
oh, that. Probably about, you're probably about right.
Because
31% is the OECs, so
yeah.
Take 31% from 145, it probably was about 105. 100. I have that electronically and I can't access it.
It's close to that right here.
So the net result of this
113.
Is that there were a few of our teachers, custodians, and administrative staff that stayed flat, and they will go up
as everybody in the state does, after the legislature passes a new budget, and the educational expenses usually go up around 2%. So that will happen for everybody, but that happens in July or August, or whenever it happens, when we know of that. So there will be bumps later beyond what we're doing now. We're doing something to, in our view, catch up, because we've had teachers and custodians, everybody related to the school, has busted their butt this year, and we need to show appreciation for that, and we can afford to show appreciation for it. So we're hopeful that people take this, people being the teachers, take this in the spirit which is given, which is thank you very much for your effort. There's no reason when we ask more from our teachers than we think other schools ask for theirs, they should be getting less pay. It's fun to work at our school, but they still shouldn't get less pay. So this is an effort to differentiate by catching up, not differentiate by exceeding what seems to be a standard rate for people who have the same experience as our teachers. And if the numbers are as you...
Yes, for full year it's 110 plus 34 in OECs for 145. For the remainder of this year it's 25 in salaries, 8 in OECs for a total of 33.
And there were some very small adjustments we made to those numbers yesterday, but that's pretty close.
The benefit is, as Alan will cover in the budget, this is not going to put us in jeopardy of not breaking even this year. So it's affordable, and it's necessary in our view to deal with the teachers. We love our teachers. We're sorry they feel overworked. But the best thing we can do is say thank you very much with a little bump in their salary.
And thank you, Debbie, for bringing it to my attention.
Thank you.
That the teachers felt that way. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
So does this bring us closer to surrounding districts or
Depends on which district you're talking about.
Since we pull from all the 9 districts, It takes into account all 9 of them, but it weights more heavily on Cape and Indian River because the majority of our students come from there. Gotcha. So it's not going to be as high as Cape or Indian River, but it's not going to be as low as Woodbridge or Milford.
And in full disclosure, it's not going to be as high as Seaford, because they pay their teachers, particularly their junior teachers, more than anybody else does. And they do that
young teachers.
At the lower end. At the lower
with
end.
With the
not
bachelor's
the upper
degrees
end.
And, yeah.
And they do that for a reason. They need to do it in order to attract teachers to those schools and keep them in those schools. So if that's an issue, we want to bring that out, that we didn't go to every school and say we want to be better than every one of those schools. But we are certainly competitive, if not equal to Indian River and Cape, which are our 2 biggest draws. That's where our students come from.
So the average increase is 3.7%. The range is 2 to 10%. Some people are seeing very large increases.
And not 100% of the population is below market, right?
Yeah.
3.2. Yeah, some when we looked at the scale were above what the scale would have been. So you know, they didn't get nothing, but they didn't get 10% either.
And we think that's part of this whole thing. Most of the board members, I'm being a perfect example. When I walk the halls, I am so impressed with how clean our school is. And when I have somebody that I'm taking around, they go, how do you keep these, you know, it's a Friday, so it's had a whole week of wear on the hallways, and they're still shiny. And there's not very much paper there. And if there is a piece of paper on the floor, most of us pick it up because it's so strange to see a piece of paper there. So you pick it up and throw it in the next trash can you find. And I hope the students do the same thing, because that creates a culture of cleanliness, and we take care of our property. So custodians are factoring into this, as well as the teachers and as well as some of the office staff.
Was the IB coordinator, I want to thank you too, because one of the things that kills an IB program very quickly is staff turnover. And so keeping our staff and keeping those hardworking teachers well compensated will help to reduce that, and then help our kids be successful in those programs.
You gonna make a motion, Joe?
Yeah, I move that we accept the gross numbers. We're not talking specific numbers for people because that's not appropriate. But the gross numbers that we mentioned, which is 145,000 with the benefits piece in it, and 27,000 or so with that for this year. So it's 145 on an annualized basis of higher salaries. So I recommend that we approve that as a board. I do want Alan, when he gets the budget, to let you all know, can we afford that? Because the answer right now is yes, we can afford it, but Alan has to prove it to us in a few minutes.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Motion carries. Good thinking, probably. The revised budget.
Okay. You have three pages from the Finance Committee meeting minutes from yesterday.
Is it this
it's
one?
It's front and back.
Nope, not that one.
Front and back. Then you should, yeah. That just summarizes our meeting. What Joe just discussed is summarized in there. Yes.
Yes, what it says, Finance Committee meeting at the top.
Pretty far back.
Two pages.
It's not rocket science, people.
Anybody else?
So a lot of what Steve mentioned is in there where it says budget updates. What Joe just reviewed is under staff compensation. And on the back side is what's happening for next year's budget. It also includes what our current enrollment is for next year. So remember, our approved enrollment is 770. Yesterday we had 768 and six that are pending. The system to pre-register students is kicking out error messages. They rolled over us to a new system and it's just not working. So really we're at 774 right now.
And how much leeway do we have to go beyond the 770?
We can go 5% above the 770.
So that's 38 more kids over there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're almost full, people. Yay!
Thank you.
This is cause for celebration.
These are way low though, aren't they? Like the ninth grade?
Yeah, what happened with ninth?
Well, that's
next year's ninth grade. 90 students are staying, and only four have been pre-registered. We've called 20-some, but we waited until after last Friday when the students' last day to turn in their intent to return came in. So 90 students are staying, and that number will go up from 94.
We'll probably get 130.
We probably will not get through our wait list. There will probably be people on the waiting list that do not get in for the first time.
Can we get a lottery coming through?
Mm-hmm. I mean, not good for them. But.
Yeah. It's hard because now, I mean, I think what sinks in for people is that if you don't get in sixth grade,
then you're not
guaranteed.
You're not getting in.
But the 90 kids staying will go down as the tech waiting list.
It will.
Is.
So how long is our ninth grade waiting list? Is it 60-something?
I don't know if it's that many.
It's almost.
It was 50-something to begin with, and we offered 24 spots so far. Mm-hmm. So 30 left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing that could happen, it's still only the end of March. People make decisions. New people move in. New people hear about the school. Somebody decides I want to do something different. So we still pick up kids. We'll have kids come in wanting to get into 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. Mm-hmm. We are not typically taking any seniors because of graduation requirements.
And we're also, there was also discussion about cutting back the 6th grade class to a smaller number now. With those teachers, I think we've been at about 130?
130.
And we want to cut it back to 115 for the middle school, give them a little bit of breathing room, and if that turns out to be too low, we can adjust it at some point.
So we have 108 in total. So
how many kids are we gonna have in sixth grade? Is that in September?
I think 115, is that right? About?
Yeah, probably. Might go to 120.
Might go to 120, 115 to 120, something like that.
But, Anna.
You get better with you?
We have these kids, but that makes the assumption that, well, these are all pre-registered.